So I'm sitting on the in the press room one more time. This time I'm sitting next to Charles Nutter, who's one of the core developers of JRuby at Sun. And I wanted to ask you, we were just talking about mixed language application or programming. So could you talk a little bit about what that is?
Well, as it's becoming more and more common to see projects use both Java and other languages like Ruby or Python or obviously Ruby, more and more organizations start to have to start planning for that sort of thing and have to realize that their developers and their employees are going to need to use some of those languages, and that actually that those languages will enable all sorts of new types of developing paradigms, that they will allow a lot of different ways for folks to solve the same problems that they've been solving with Java in the past. And that this is a good thing, that this move is a good thing for those organizations, and it's going to open up all sorts of new opportunities for them.
Okay, so what would be some of the challenges of mixed language programming, and what kind of surprises might people find that they need, problems that they need to worry about?
Well, with most of the languages, it's generally that they're dynamic scripting languages, and that they don't have static typing, they don't have a lot of compile time checking. It's something that you need to plan for. It doesn't end up being a major roadblock to implementing programs with those languages or using those languages well, but it's one thing to look for. Really, the biggest hurdle to get over is actually learning those languages, and part of learning the languages normally would include learning the libraries, getting to know the set of libraries that comes with it very well. However, if you're using them on Java and using them to implement features for your Java applications, you get to use all the same libraries again. So it ends up being mostly about learning the syntax and learning the right way to use that language.
Okay, so where do you draw the line? So when would it be appropriate to use the scripting language, and when it would be appropriate to use the static language? I wrote a tool. I wrote an article one time, use the best tool for the job, suggesting you should, a programmer should know, at least one of each. It's hard to know a lot of languages, but most people can know two. So pick two, and then use the appropriate one for the job. So how do you know, how do you figure out, which is the right tool to use for which part of your application?
Well, generally when that question comes up, I've been using the metaphor of of Unix-based systems, where we have a large collection of very solid, well-tested C-based libraries. We have a great kernel, usually written in C, but that at the end of the day, a lot of the applications that people write and a lot of the work gets done using dynamic languages to wire all of those pieces together. That same sort of divide works very well when you apply it to the Java platform. We have a number of great libraries and frameworks that have been tested, battle-tested over the years, and work very well for what they do, written in Java. We have our kernel, which is the JVM, and that last piece has been missing for so long. We've been under the assumption that we needed to use Java also to wire everything together, and that ends up being where it's much more complicated. I think it was Geert Bevan in the scripting talk on Monday said that when you ask a Java developer to write an application, the first thing they start doing is writing frameworks that they can build the application on, planning the frameworks before they actually have the application. When you ask a Ruby developer to write an application, they end up starting writing on the application right away, and they let the frameworks develop from that. Because Ruby allows you to wire those pieces together so much more quickly, you actually can start working on productive applications from day one.
Okay, so to what extent is using a static language to call into the Java API premature optimization? In other words, what I can do is I could script all this stuff up, and then when I have a performance problem, I could replace that part with Java.
Certainly. Well, of course, we're trying to make the scripting languages work as fast as possible, so you wouldn't have to ever worry about the performance issues and re-implementing certain pieces in Java. But really, it comes down to the fact that when you're using lots of different libraries, lots of different classes and objects and types that all basically function the same way, having to use a statically typed language and bind directly to all of those different types and objects is much more cumbersome to work with from a development standpoint. It works very well for a performance standpoint and for allowing the system to optimize well and doing some compile time checking for you, but it's not the easiest way to wrap your head around all of those libraries and put them together into a real application.
Okay, so Ruby has a bunch of dynamic things that it can do. To what extent does that fit? Like when you're, I guess, for example, if I used a bunch of those dynamic things, it might be hard for me to switch back to Java if I had a performance problem or something. Would I use Ruby differently on the JVM maybe than I would not on the JVM?
Well, potentially. Usually what people do in the regular Ruby world when they want to re-implement a piece in C, for example, is they look for some particular benchmark that seems to be, or some particular piece of their application that profiles badly or that has an issue just because of the way Ruby's designed, and they implement just that one small piece. Usually those pieces are not related to the dynamic typing or some of the more advanced features of Ruby. It's usually doing some number crunching or working with arrays, things like that, that when you do know exactly what sort of type you're working with and it's never going to change, you can re-implement that piece in Java pretty easily. And really, Java just ends up becoming our C. If you want that performance out of a particular piece of your application, you certainly can drop down to Java like you would in the C implementation.
Okay. So what about the impedance? I mean, to what extent is there an impedance mismatch? Because one of the things I like about Groovy is that there's just one API I learned it uses. It's sort of like a native scripting language for Java, whereas Ruby has, it's a great language, but it's a different language. It has its own object model. It has its own API to do all kinds of stuff. So I would like to pick a scripting language for us to use, and I haven't yet do this mixed programming. Mm-hmm. And if we pick a Ruby, then we can actually use, people will learn Ruby and we can use it outside the VM, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. But then you have that, extra layer of, and I'm not quite sure when you would call into the Ruby API to do something, when you would call into the Java API to do something. So, how is that a problem? Or?
Well, it ends up not being very much of a problem because Ruby, of the types that are implemented in Java for our implementation and the same for the C implementation, those types are only a few core classes like strings, lists, hashes, things like that. Those pieces, there is a bit of an impedance mismatch because we have a Ruby string that wraps a string. We have a Ruby array that wraps a list. But once you go beyond that and actually start calling into the APIs, you could use the large volume of Ruby standard libraries that have XML parsers and HTTP libraries and whatnot. You could use all that, or you could just use that core Ruby language and call all the same Java APIs that you use today. You don't necessarily have to write Ruby applications that would be portable if your goal is just to write Ruby applications for the JVM.
What is the the status of, JRuby right now, you said in the car it's all interpreted and that, you're planning to do compilation and stuff. Could you talk a little bit about the future roadmap of where you are now and where you're going to go?
Okay. Well, JRuby is 100% interpreted right now, just like the C implementation. But we are actively trying to clean up the current implementation. It's very close to being 100% compatible with the regular Ruby interpreter, and we want to clean up the implementation. We want to get the performance milestones closer to where Ruby is, and we want to do all of this while it's still in interpreted mode for the moment. We don't feel that there's any reason why we shouldn't be as fast as the C implementation when even interpreted. And then the next plan will be to actually start looking at the compiler and take it to the next level, so that we can allow the hotspot VM to optimize a little better, so that we can reduce the impedance mismatch between Ruby code and Java code, so it's calling more directly. And that's all coming up in the next months.
Okay. So the other thing I guess I was a little concerned about was the next version of Ruby, or like the next big leap of Ruby. I forget what it's called, the one that's going to come out December 2007, if Matt's is...
Yes, Ruby 1.191, I think, now okay. with YARV and... The new VM implementation.
Yeah, it's supposed to have Unicode support better or something. And it sounded like, people would say things like, well, if you want to be compatible, or might break compatibility in a few places, maybe. So can you talk about, you know, how scary that we should be of that?
We've been watching the Ruby 2.0 development, and actually up until very recently, most of the changes that were planned looked like they were purely syntactical. In a lot of cases, just parser changes that we would have to make to keep up with those. But at RubyConf this year, Motz, the creator of Ruby, actually said that they were going to sort of reset the Ruby 2.0 design and sort of start from base principles again, start looking at what features they want in the language and what features make sense to have in the language. So we don't know exactly what 2.0 is going to look like at this point. That said, we are going to continue to track it and see what features they end up adding. We're going to try and make sure that we can implement those in JRuby. And it doesn't seem like it's going to be anytime soon that we'll see Ruby 2.0. Motz at RubyConf actually said that 1.8 seems to be good enough for most people. It does what most people need, and there isn't a driving need for a 2.0 at this point.
What is the Unicode? What is the Unicode story now with Ruby, and how do you deal with that? Because that's something people who are doing web apps care about a lot of times.
Surprisingly, the Unicode story is not great for Ruby right now. It has support through various libraries, but most of those libraries aren't being widely used or don't have a complete solution. The most recent version of Rails, the 1.2 release, which is supposed to come out in a couple days, does include a new library for doing full Unicode support as part of the framework. And at the moment, that seems like that may come out as a winner among the different Unicode libraries, since so many people are using Rails, since it's gaining international exposure. That may be the library that people end up using. So that's kind of how they're handling things on the Ruby side, with additional libraries. What we've been doing on the JRuby side is weighing the decision whether we want to support Unicode natively in some way, possibly with forking away from Ruby a little bit, or whether there are certain libraries that are going to come out as a winner that we could provide a native implementation for. So if this Rails library, for example, gains traction, we could provide a native version of it under the covers that actually just uses Java's Unicode support. And that may be the, if not the quickest or easiest way to support Unicode in JRuby, perhaps the most politically correct way to do it, because we won't be actually forking the language at that point.
Okay. So my last question is, what happens to strings when I call into the API? I guess, what are strings in Ruby? Are they just ASCII or what?
Strings in Ruby, generally you specify what encoding you want when you start it up, but usually they're just buckets of bytes for the most part, and it doesn't do any encoding enforcement. And when we're in Java, actually we've had to sort of cripple Java's string, so that we can more precisely mimic what Ruby's string expects. However, with Ruby 2.0, they're planning on ways to fix that. We're looking at these other libraries for Unicode, which obviously, if you're going to support Unicode and going to support other encodings, you have to have something smarter than just a bucket of bytes. So that may be the road for us to actually, again, do one more notch in decreasing the impedance mismatch between Ruby and Java.
Okay, so I just want to end on this multiple application. How did you call it? Multi-language
applications.
Applications. You said people need to get ready for that. Mm-hmm. What do they have to do to get ready for that?
Well, if you only know one language today, and really you don't only know one language today, because you know XML and all the 100 dialects, and you know SQL, and you know all these other different pieces. But if you only know Java, for example, today, maybe it's not a bad exercise to start looking at some of these other languages. And, of course, I like Ruby. Lots of people like Groovy or Python or any of the 100 other languages that are implemented for the JVM. But pick one that seems like it may do what you want or that it looks like something you'd like to learn, and start trying it out and start trying to write pieces of your application today.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.